A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Jesus raised his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Give glory to your Son, so that your Son may glorify you, just as you gave him authority over all people, so that your Son may give eternal life to all you gave him. Now this is eternal life, that they should know you, the only true God, and know the one you sent, Jesus Christ. I glorified you on earth by accomplishing the work you gave me to do. Now glorify me with you, Father, with the glory I had with you before the world began. I revealed your name to those whom you gave me out of the world. They belong to you, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they know that everything you gave me is from you, because the words you gave to me, I have given them. And they accepted them and truly understood that I came from you. And they believed that you sent me. I pray for them. I do not pray for the world, but for the ones you have given me, because they are yours, and everything of mine is yours, and everything of yours is mine. And I have been glorified in them. And now I will no longer be in the world, but they are in the world while I am coming to you. The Gospel of the Lord. Well, here's a little church factoid that you can hang on to. The Archdiocese of New York is one of only six dioceses in the United States that keeps Ascension Thursday on Ascension Thursday and as a day of obligation. Whereas all the other dioceses have moved it to this Sunday, and it's celebrated on this seventh Sunday. And so we have one extra holy day of obligation. And why is that? Well, our archbishops have always decided that it's important. And I think they're right. Because it gives us this kind of a 10-day period between Ascension Thursday and Pentecost that is very significant. And the readings today kind of highlighted the importance of it. Because I would say one of the common problems we all face from time to time is a sense that God's far away, right? It comes at different moments of difficulty or crisis in our lives. And the apostles were facing this too. When Jesus kept saying he's going to be going away, he's not going to be with them anymore. And they were really grieved. You could see that all throughout the Last Supper. And even before, when he was telling them that he's going to be going down to Jerusalem and he'll be handed over and to the chief priests and crucified. And in the Gospels, you can sense their fear, even dread, you know. But it hits us too in different ways. Like, is God really caring for us? Is he really there? I was thinking about this late last night. I was driving down to the hospital, an emergency. Young guy from the parish, we married a couple of years ago, they had their first baby, all fine, until the next day, and the mom starts hemorrhaging really badly and had emergency surgery. So I went down and anointed her. Thankfully, they saved her life. But he was texting me saying, she's an angel, she doesn't deserve this. No. Yeah. It reminded me, whenever somebody says that, I don't deserve this suffering, this setback, this difficulty, I always think of that Clint Eastwood line, you know, where he's about to kill that evil guy, Bill. And he says, deserving's got nothing to do with it. And he shoots him, you know. Yeah, deserving's got nothing to do with it. There's something deeper and more mysterious going on when we face unexplained suffering. And seemingly abandoned by God when we most need him. And the apostles were feeling that too. That what are we going to do now? We got a hostile Sanhedrin. We've got the whole world against us, practically. And we don't have the gifts and talents that Jesus has. How are we going to spread this faith? But the first reading tells us that after the ascension, probably their first instinct was to feel like, now what? Right? But it says they go back to the upper room, and it lists the names of the 11 there. And they all devoted themselves with one accord to prayer, together with some women, Mary, the mother of Jesus, and his brothers. So the picture is of this little group heading back to maybe what they considered headquarters ever since the Last Supper, in the upper room. And they go not just the 11, but they go also with relatives of Jesus, some of the women who had been in their group, and Mary. Who knows how many altogether, 20, 30 maybe? The little group spending those 10 days in the upper room, and they don't know really what they're praying for, I don't think, because they don't know much about the Holy Spirit at this point. I mean, of course, Jesus had told them about the Holy Spirit, but like most things, they couldn't really grasp the significance of the Holy Spirit. Certainly none of them really had any real experience of the Spirit at that point. They hadn't seen the Spirit come while Jesus was with them, right? They hadn't yet experienced Pentecost. And so I've always imagined these 10 days as very much directed by Mary. Because Jesus told them to go and wait for the Spirit, but there was only one of them who ever had an experience of the Holy Spirit. And that was the Blessed Mother at the Annunciation. It was she who had had her life transformed by an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. When the Spirit came upon her, and she conceived of the Holy Spirit. And certainly that wasn't the only moment. Mary, from that moment, learned to depend on the Holy Spirit to go down to Bethlehem, to flee Bethlehem when Herod threatened the child, to go to Egypt to live in exile and poverty, and along with Joseph, to trust that the Spirit was speaking through his dreams to come back to the Promised Land. Mary was in touch with the Spirit. So I imagine her in these 10 days to be very much explaining and instructing the apostles on what to expect on Pentecost. And you can imagine them all praying away for this mysterious Spirit to come upon them. And next week we'll read the account of that power of the Spirit that sets them on fire so that they can go out and preach. But even more than that, they experience that ongoing presence of God. So they're not left abandoned, they're not alone. Even though they feel totally inadequate, humanly speaking, for the mission that they have entrusted to them by Jesus, go forth to all nations and baptize them, instruct them in everything I have told you. They feel totally inadequate for doing that. Fishermen, tax collectors, ooh-wee. But they don't feel abandoned by God because Jesus remains behind in the Blessed Sacrament, in the Eucharist, the breaking of the bread, as they called it at the time. And now the Spirit would come upon them. And as Jesus said at the Last Supper, he will teach you the meaning of everything I have said and done. And so they have that presence of the Spirit. And Jesus, even though he's gone away, is here in a more powerful sacramental way till the end of time. And I think today's gospel helps us focus as well on this ongoing loving presence of God in our lives. This passage from St. John's Gospel also takes place at the Last Supper and is referred to as the priestly prayer of Jesus, where you have Jesus, the Son of God, speaking not to the apostles anymore. No, he had done that through most of the discourse, but suddenly he turns his attention to God the Father. And he begins addressing the Father and saying, Father, you have given these men to me, and I have not lost any of them. Glorify me with you, with the glory I had before the world began. I revealed your name to those you gave me. And now protect them, Father, from the world, because I am coming to you, but they are remaining here. And he goes on this long prayer, asking the Father to protect us from the evil one, from the world, to remain with us, so that we would not be afraid, that we would experience the presence of God always, either through the Eucharist or through the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, who helps us understand what God wants of us and enables us and gives us the courage to fulfill it. So I think these are two ways in which these 10 days are spent in prayer by the apostles. And then the Spirit comes next Sunday on Pentecost to give those apostles the courage to go out, to experience that ongoing presence of Jesus. I think we have to do the same thing. Whenever we feel maybe a little abandoned, remember that we had Jesus Christ himself praying for us specifically. To me, at least, that's always been a tremendous consolation, to know that the Lord doesn't just give us commandments to follow or expectations, but that he actually prays and intercedes for us too. And he's pulling for us. He's on our side. And he's calling upon the Father and the Spirit to protect us from the world. And as he said, I am with you all days, even to the end of the world. Praise be Jesus Christ, both now and forever.